Support for the show comes from Atlassian. Having trouble getting things done at work? You're not alone. Maybe in order to unlock amazing outcomes, it's time to stop looking up and down for answers and instead start looking across. What do we mean by that? The companies with the fastest speed to market tend to be the ones that look across the organization rather than up and down the hierarchy. Stay tuned to hear how Atlassian software like Confluence, Jira, and Loom can help maximize effective teamwork in your organization. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Support for Pivot comes from ServiceNow. By now, you've probably heard about AI. You might even be sick of hearing about it. But despite all the hype, it's not always clear how AI can help your business. ServiceNow has some ideas. With their intelligent platform, they can put AI to work across your company, improving customer experiences, helping non-coders code, accelerating your IT team's productivity, and resolving HR cases faster. So work can actually work better for everyone. So stop the hype and start putting AI to work. Go to servicenow.com/genAI to see why the world works with ServiceNow.
Hi, this is Kara Swisher with another emergency bonus episode for you this week. This is my big get interview with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, kind of the man at the middle of all this. And I asked, and he said yes. Scott and I will be back with your regularly scheduled episode of Pivot on Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern. Enjoy them both. Thank you for talking to me, Satya. I'm very excited to talk to you.
It's great to be with you, Kara.
I've got a lot of things to get to. So I want you to sort of give me an overview of where you are right now and what's happening, because this has been quite a story for technology. I'd like to start with how you found out this was happening.
I would say, to your fundamental point, Kara, I am exactly where I was on Friday morning, which is on Friday morning, if you had come and asked me where I was and what was happening, I would say, hey, look, I feel fantastic about Microsoft and our ability to confidently go innovate in AI, as it was in full display at our customer conference, from silicon to co-pilots and everything that we were doing, and our commitment to our customers as far as the innovation there. And second, our partnership with OpenAI and and that we are with Sam. Those would be the three things I would have said on Friday, and that's exactly what I would say today. And so on Friday, I get a call saying that, the OpenAI board had a decision where they were making a CEO transition. Mm-hmm. And we issued a statement right after that, which said that they had appointed Mira, whom I had known for a long time. Obviously, she was very much part of the OpenAI team. And so we said, yeah, we're going to continue to work with OpenAI. And so that's kind of what all happened. And so there's no real change, at least as far as I'm concerned.
I get that. Yeah, I get that. But they didn't consult you, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we were mostly working with Sam and the management team and the for-profit entity. And we didn't have any relationship with the nonprofit board, which has the governance of this entity. That's correct.
Right. And so did you feel like you should have been consulted?
At the very least, right? Of course, the nonprofit boards have their own commitment to their mission. But for, given all of our investment in OpenAI, mm-hmm. and it's not even the money and the capital. I mean, here's a simple way to think about this. Sam chose Microsoft once. Sam chose mm-hmm. Microsoft twice. And someone's got to think about why. There mm-hmm. is no OpenAI without sort of Microsoft leaning in a deep way to partner with this company on their mission. We love their mission. We even love their independence. Mm-hmm. We have no issues with any of it. We just want, and look, I've always, and I know in Silicon Valley, people talk about, who is sort of, getting ahead of the other. Like, I believe in partnerships. In fact, one of the mm-hmm. most understated things is great partnerships can create lots of enterprise value.
Sure.
And so I deeply always have remained committed. And yes, they should have, as a partner, I think it does deserve you to be, consulted on big decisions.
Right. Yeah. I think I probably found out almost when you did, which I that's fine with me, but not with you necessarily. So your first statement on Friday was pretty diplomatic, saying, and we're going to get to the bigger picture of where AI is going too in a second, but as you saw at Microsoft Ignite this week, we're continuing to rapidly innovate in this era of AI. And then you went on to say, we have a long-term agreement with OpenAI with full access to everything we need to deliver our innovation agenda and exciting product roadmap and remain committed to our partnership and to Mira and the team. So, Mira, then they started negotiations. You were part of that, from what I understand, of getting Sam back, because Mira had expressed interest in bringing them back. I think she moved up to that CEO position, but was already working to bring Greg and Sam back to the job.
Yeah, I mean, overall, again, all through the weekend, as I quite frankly didn't engage with the OpenAI board. The only person I know there is Adam D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was consistent. Same thing I said. Look, we really are very committed to OpenAI. We are very committed to Mira as the interim CEO. And we want to make sure that, you know, whatever Sam does, you'll definitely do with us. And you should know that. And we would be happy for Sam to come back if that's what you choose to. And I was very clear that in any which way that we would be supportive of Sam and Greg and all the team. Because the thing that we didn't want is the team to get splintered and the mission to get jeopardized. And our partners and customers, whether they're using OpenAI or Microsoft. But the point is, we were very confident in our own ability. We have all the IP rights and all the capability. I mean, look, if tomorrow if OpenAI disappeared, I don't want any customer of ours to be worried about it, quite honestly, because we have all of the rights to continue the innovation, not just to serve the product, but we can, you know, go and just do what we were doing in partnership ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we have the people, we have the compute, we have the data, we have everything. But at the same time, I'm committed to OpenAI partnership, and that's kind of what I expressed to them.
And where does that stand? Because you have invested, is it $13 billion or $12 billion in the company?
It's a complicated thing.
Yeah,
it's
I
sort
get
of
it.
We have a significant investment. It sort of comes in the form of not just dollars, but it comes in the form of compute and what have you.
Right.
And that gives
expensive.
Us significant rights, as I said. And also this thing, it's not a hands off, right? We are in there, we are below them, above them, around them. We do the kernel optimizations, we build tools, we build the infrastructure. So that's why I think some of the industry analysts are saying, oh, wow, there is this. It's really a joint project between Microsoft and OpenAI. And the reality is, we are, as I said, very self-sufficient in all of this.
I get that. So, but still, you want to know when something like this is happening because they need to deliver the partnership, correct?
Correct.
I mean, you invest thinking that they can deliver what they promised on their
Absolutely.
Side.
Absolutely.
Was that a worry for you in terms of putting themselves in this? It was clearly a crisis. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, this was unprecedented. I've covered Silicon Valley. I've known you for decades. I've never seen anything like this.
I mean, yeah, it's of course. I mean, anytime you have, you know, significant turnover of a place, there's always risk, and you know, there's a key person risk, and then the team risk. And I mean, at the end of the day, we can talk a lot about technology and other things, but it's about human capital of any organization. And so, yeah, I mean, to me, that's where I go back to what my message over the weekend is. You know, I like to keep things simple. I start with, hey, what is the thing that we were doing on Friday morning? We were trying to build great products and great technology and do real research around everything from AI safety and alignment to the next generation models. I want to continue to do that on behalf of our customers and partners. And what's the best way to do that? Have the people. And so
Let us walk out the door every day. Your assets walk
and optimize
out the door every
day. For the people. Because then, you know, obviously the boards have to do what they have to do around their governance. But I don't know, I'm not a part of their board. So all I said is, hey, whatever it is that you're doing, just make sure that you don't compromise the mission of the organization in which we have invested and the people who are behind that we bet on. And so that's it.
I'm sure that was disturbing coming from you. But talk about Sam Altman. You talked about key people. He is the one that got the investment, who has the relationship with you. As you said, you don't know this board. Talk a little bit about what you thought if he was, you've hired him now to create this new advanced research division. Can you talk a little more in detail about what that means?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, Sam is someone I've known for a very long time. And quite frankly, in the last, I would say, 4.5, 5 years that we've worked together closely now in this context, we've obviously gotten to know each other very deeply, not just as people who know as acquaintances, but as deep professional partners. And so I have great admiration for his vision, his ability to bring teams together and push. And so that's kind of what I want him to do at, you know, irrespective of what happens right now. I just wanted him to make sure that he's able to continue. And he's a very mission-driven guy. He wants to sort of continue to push this advanced AI work that he and Greg and team were doing. And so, quite frankly, right now also, the way we will do this is that team will come and they'll join Microsoft and we'll continue to work with OpenAI. So nothing changes. Yeah, after all, we were we had many engineers from Microsoft who were also working with OpenAI you know, on Friday. And so we'll continue to do the same.
Well, I don't want to jump ahead of myself, but more than 600 now or more of the employees want to leave at the company. So there's not much AI to work, OpenAI to work for if that happens.
Yeah, I mean, this is where, you know, this is where I leave it to the individual employees to decide and their board to decide what happens. But I, as I said, we will definitely have a place for all AI talent to come here and move forward on the mission. And we will be supportive of whoever remains even at OpenAI or whatever. Like, I mean, to me, I kind of look at it and say, hey, all three things have to equate for me. At the end of the day, I'm doing things that are meaningful for my customers. And I'm going to continue with partner with OpenAI. And I'll continue to make sure that Sam and team are supported.
Let's finish with talking about this. So what is the advanced AI team? What does that mean? And how are you going to fund it? Where's it going to be?
It's going to be like, you know, think of it like how we organize GitHub or what have you. It'll be, you know, a real team inside of Microsoft where one of the things we have learned, Kara, and I mentioned this, I think, in one of the, whatever you call them now, X's, I think. The idea that, you know, we learned everything from having created GitHub, LinkedIn, Mojang Studios, how to have, you know, innovators and builders who come to Microsoft and then continue to have an identity, a culture, a spirit to do things.
LinkedIn.
Therefore, that's kind of how I look at it. So having an advanced, I mean, like Microsoft research, I mean, think about this, right? Microsoft research has a strong heritage of doing some of the foundational works. In fact, some of that was even in display, right? As we talk about large models, one of the leaders of what we call small language models is Microsoft. And some of the stuff that we announced at Ignite. So I kind of felt like, hey, great. If Sam and Greg and crew can come, we can now create another specialized unit, very focused on what we were doing as next generation. We were already talking about what comes in 25, what comes in 30.
What kind of funding does this get from Microsoft?
I mean, the beauty of anything inside Microsoft is I don't have to talk to you about it.
But I'd like you to tell me.
That is the beauty of it. It's just the small numbers that get talked about. I mean, this
is
the other...
Well, you might have some billions laying around if everybody leaves OpenAI.
Yeah, this
open
is the silliness of it all is the little acquisitions we make and the little investments we make get more press than all of the money, which is the organic investment we make. But that's the world, and that's okay.
I know you're doing a lot of research, but I think you, you know, a lot of people, and I am among them, think you just possibly got this company for free. You know, if all these employees go over. Were you surprised by how many employees were backing Sam?
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, that I think speaks to, you know, Sam and his mission-driven approach to building teams, which obviously I admire a lot. And, you know, I think that, you know, if that is the eventuality, then great. But you know, I don't think of this as, again, like, hey, somehow we are trying to use this to get something for free, as you described. I mean, we were happy on Friday morning.
Yeah, I get
so
it.
So I have no interest.
You're in a better position. You're in a better position. You are.
I was in a good position, Kara. This is where I think most people sort of overestimate, underestimate. Like, there is nothing that has really changed. On Friday, I could have done exactly what I'm going to do today. I think that, yes, it's sort of better copy, but there's no real change. What is just, in fact, on Friday, I was more productive than the weekend. Let me put it that way.
Yeah, of course. So with this new unit, it'll be sit within Microsoft. It could have quite a lot of the OpenAI employees who have been promised jobs. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, we said, yeah, anyone who wants to join us, because one of the things I want to be, let's face it, right? There's a lot of competition for AI talent, and I just want to make sure, and the AI talent wants to go where there is significant compute and resources and data and all of those assets that we have. And so therefore, I just wanted to make sure that in a world where people have choices, if they're going to leave OpenAI, that Microsoft was a choice for them.
Right. Mark Benioff's trying to hire. He just sent me a tweet where he's trying to grab some of those people. I'm sure everybody is. Do you know, as you're working, but you will continue to work with OpenAI no matter what happens, do you know the newest interim CEO, Emmett Scheer?
Yeah, I had not known him before, but I met him for the first time last night. Okay. And I've had a couple of subsequent conversations, and I relayed essentially the same message that I just told you, Kara, which is we are committed to our customers and the innovation and them and Sam. And he knows that, and and he's good with all of that. And that's why I even put out the statement last night when I first came to know that he was going to be the new interim CEO.
Yeah, I get that. But you were more excited for the Sam acquisition, I would say. I'm going to call it the Sam acquisition just to annoy you. Is he in this capacity at Microsoft? Could this change if the board leaves and he goes back? Are you open to that possibility with more Microsoft board presence?
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, that's not obviously my... Yeah. So if something happens where they're bored and people decide that, they want to get back, as I said, to some kind of a state. And one thing I'll be very, very clear is we're never going to get back into a situation where we get surprised like this ever again. And so therefore, that's done. And so if anything, we're much more resolute that we cannot have our customers and so on feel like there is any... going to be surprises. So therefore, yeah, we'll definitely take care of all of the governance issues and anything else. And as I said, we have all the rights. So therefore, we will make sure that like on Friday, we will make sure that we are very, very clear that the governance gets fixed in a way that we really have more surety and guarantee that we don't have surprises. That's all.
Don't stop surprises. That mean a board observer or a board seat?
We'll sort of cross that if that happens, but I think that we'll need to make sure that our interests are solid. And it's not like I felt that on Friday morning, somehow our interests were not solid, but we've learned a lesson or two and we'll make sure that we'll double down on it. And as I said, I think the key thing, I think at least for our customers is to know that this is where I look at it and say is like, if even everything disappeared, we have everything we need in order to just continue to keep innovating without a blip. And that, I think, is the one thing that is not understood by the world. We wouldn't be Microsoft in 2023 with the capability up and down the stack if we didn't have that. And it's silly for people to keep thinking about like, hey, one company with little technology is going to make all the difference. We're a lot bigger. We love the partnership, but we are not single-threaded.
We'll be back in a minute.
Fox Creative.
This is advertiser content from Atlassian.
The universal truth with our customers is they're all struggling to get stuff done. Our goal is how do we help them unleash the potential of their people, their teams, and their technology to actually get the right things done at the right time with the right people the right way. And when we do that, magical things truly happen.
Dom Price is Atlassian's work futurist. It's his job to help Atlassian customers imagine more effective ways to work.
It's completely natural to focus on what you can control in your team. The problem is if that's all you do, you get pretty myopic. The best teams I'm working with, they really work on who are the people upstream and downstream that we need to work with. How do we get flow across the organization? How do we get value into the hands of our customers quickly?
And sometimes achieving flow means that instead of asking who do I work for, it's asking who do I work with.
When you get team connection right, everyone benefits, the employee, the employer, and the customer, right? To get stuff done, the best organizations and teams right now are focusing on modern work. They're dreaming about the future, but they're dreaming about it by planting the seed to get the right things done right now.
Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom enable teams to work effectively together to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Learn more at atlassian.com. That's ATLASSIAN.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Were you worried about any of the allegations the board made, including Ilya Sutskever, who has now signed the letter saying he deeply and also noted he deeply regrets his participation in the board's action? But there were some allegations that were, I couldn't find out what they were. It was unspecific. Did you have any worries about that relating to Sam?
I did not hear anything. For me, first of all, Ilya is an amazing scientist and someone. First of all, he was another core person at OpenAI that I admired a lot, and I still admire for all the unbelievable core work he has done. And I was surprised. I mean, this is all I'm also just reading. I don't know anything about his opinions about what happened or not, and so on. But nevertheless, I've not heard anything. And if the question is about safety, oh my God, that matters to, I know, to Sam. It matters to OpenAI. In fact, one of the things that I think brought Microsoft and OpenAI together was, hey, look, we're going to build AI that can broadly be, distributed to, so that people can take advantage of it with products like GitHub Copilot or ChatGPT or Copilot in M365 or what have you. And at the same time, we think about alignment, long-term, both the immediate-term safety and guardrails and the long-term safety research. And these are all, allocating a lot of...
You had no worries about Sam Altman that the board had raised.
I'm not aware of any of those things. And even in my conversations with them, none of them were raised to me.
Yeah, a lot of them said there was no Malfi. It certainly left things unclear. That was my issue with it. It was so non-transparent and unclear if you're making those kind of allegations, calling someone a liar, essentially. And you had, your hope is that you do this thing with Sam and also OpenAI stays a company, or he moves back to OpenAI and then you stay with more observation of the board, et cetera.
I mean, so fundamentally, I want us to just continue to serve our customers with the roadmap that I'm very confident that about and committed to. And so that's the number one thing and perhaps the only thing. And in order to do that, on Friday morning, we were partnering with OpenAI and Sam. And today we are going to be working with Sam and OpenAI. Same thing.
Will that be the case if this board stays? I don't think they will. That's my opinion.
I mean, to me, it's not my decision. So therefore, I really don't really have an opinion to express on that. It's for them and, others, constituents who have any say on that. But, to me, I was comfortable partnering with OpenAI, with their board, and I'm happy to sort of keep working with OpenAI, and they'll have to sort out their board and what have you.
Okay, I have one more specific question. Does this, would Sam become a potential, I'm not trying to replace you, Satya, but a potential CEO of Microsoft in this case? This is where your future is going.
let's just say that it's fantastic to have lots of capable people who can become CEOs of Microsoft.
Right. And do you think about that now? Have you been there how long? More than... Oh gosh, a long time.
I have been here for 32 years, and I'm having the time I'm having the time of my life.
As CEO, is it 12 years? Is it
what? No. I think I'll be coming up on 10 as CEO 10. In February.
Right, Right. But you think of those things. Obviously, you're part of a big company. Not enough CEOs certainly do. But is that something on your mind of where the company's going?
Yeah, I mean, look, at this point, as I said, the thing that I'm most focused on, look, is what is it that Microsoft is doing? And am I able to contribute to build the organizational and institutional strength of this company and having fun doing so? And I'm absolutely doing that. And then when I think about organizational and institutional strength is what you just said. Like at the end of the day, I'm grounded in the fact that I was growing up in Microsoft. I was not sitting around thinking, oh yeah, someday Steve will retire and I'll become CEO. I was happy in my job and continue to work on it. And then—
Gosh, the rest of us were thinking that, but go ahead.
But
keep going.
To some degree, that's kind of what I think is going to happen. But both people inside the company and people who are close to Microsoft and who are in our orbit, so to speak. And so, yes, I'm thrilled to be partnering broadly, getting more people interested in becoming CEOs of Microsoft, let's say.
Okay, so all this puts a spotlight. I don't want to talk the broader issues around AI, because one of the things is set up that I had reported early on was this misalignment between the nonprofit board and Sam's efforts, and this split between those who see the AI world, between those who see the business opportunity and a little bit of hype, and others worried that about the dangers of moving too fast. And decel is a word that gets thrown around. What do you think about this? Where do you stand? Because it seems like this binary idea, and of course you read Marc Andreessen's whatever you want to call it, about, you know, if you're either with us or against us, what I thought was simple-minded, but you don't have to comment. But how do you look at it? Because it seems like that's the split happening. Does there need to be that? Or is there this sort of, it's going to be great, and also there are dangers. How do you see it?
The interesting thing is the word you use, the split. I mean, the way, at least the optimism I have for perhaps this generation of technology is the fact that this debate exists, right? I actually welcome this, right? Which is, hey, look, at the end of the day, you know, as Brad Smith would call it, every technology ever invented was both a tool and a weapon. And the question is, how can you really make sure that the use of the tools gets propagated and the weapons not so much? And so therefore, us to be able to make sure that we are having that conversation right up front versus sort of dealing with the unmitigated consequences subsequently, it's got to be welcome. I don't think of this as a split. I mean, like, I think about also this, there's a timeline, right? There is the existential issues in the long run if we lose control of AI, and that requires real thought and real safety research, real alignment research that you have to commit to. And then the real world harms today, right? Whether it's election interference, deep fakes, bias, bioterrorism, the amount of work we did, whether it's for Bing Chat or ChatGPT or Copilot to make sure that harmful content doesn't get created. So I feel that we have sort of got to work all ends of it on a daily basis. It's not just not talking about it, learning the engineering process, having these principles guide the engineering process, and then having oversight and safety boards and with real teeth. And that's all something that we constituted even with OpenAI. So I am very committed to responsible, safe AI development. So, and at the same time, driving the benefits of it, right? I mean, you know, to me, when I see that rural farmer in India who's able to use something that was produced in the West Coast of the United States to have more agency in their life, that's magic. When I see sort of somewhere in the Middle East, a kid can have a personalized tutor because of what we built, that's magic. And I want that benefit. And at the same time, let's make sure that all the harms that people talk about and we take them seriously.
I know you have to go. I have just one more quick question. So the India-Australia cricket thing. So I'm so sorry for you there, but are you thinking of buying Australia now?
That would be like buying OpenAI. None of this can be accomplished, but we can partner well with OpenAI and enjoy Aussies play cricket.
All right. Thank you so much, Satya. Thank you for the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kara.
All right. Bye. Today's show was produced by the ON team, Naeem Araza, Christian Castro-Rossell, Kateri Yoakum, and Megan Burney, and the Pivot team, Lara Nauman, Zoe Marcus, and Taylor Griffin. Special thanks to Andrea Lopez-Cruzado. Brandon McFarlane engineered this episode. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening to Pivot from New York Magazine and Vox Media. We'll be back on Tuesday for another breakdown of all things tech and business.
Support for the show comes from Atlassian. What do you think of when you hear the word flow? How about a smooth river of collaboration culminating in a shared ocean of positive outcomes across your organization? Atlassian software like Loom, Confluence, and Jira can help you achieve maximum flow across your teams by enabling fast and easy communication and connection no matter what time zone they're in. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unlock flow across your teams at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Claude 3 from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point of the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skill and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who use Anthropic to navigate this new frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, today. Jumpstart your genius with Claude 3 by Anthropic.